If a question is posed, if a question is put forward, that dangerous, rather, what is the most dangerous thing? If this question is posed, now, to the extent that I understand, the answer that would be given would not be one. It would not be one. There would be different answers for this question. Every man or every woman, for this question, the answer would be given according to that person's mind or opinion or understanding. For example, if I ask this question to everybody who sat in this masjid, please tell me, what is the most dangerous thing? If you have stolen, you'll say, oh, police. If you're a thief, you'll say, the police. It's danger. If the police is there or around, there's nothing more dangerous than that for me. And if somebody is asked, what's the most dangerous thing? What is dangerous in your eyes? And you said, well, to be honest, for me, I'm really scared of flies. You know, flies. If the fly comes into my house, there's a lot of noise. And there are women or men, everybody, generally speaking, that what is the problem? It's nighttime. Oh, there's a fly. Yeah, just a small fly. Everyone's making noise. Oh, get the fly out. You'll have seen this in homes, within families. And you're running, you're saying, what fly? Which fly? And you're running around trying to catch the fly. So what is it that your understanding is different? You're not scared. So if I ask you then, that are you scared of a fly? You say, no. So what are you scared of then? Me, I don't, is a fly to be something to be scared of? I get scared of mice, you know, mice or rats. The mice, you know, the fly is nothing, but if the mouse comes in or the rat, then I make noise and I jump up and down. I'm scared. So everybody has their sort of scenario, and a mouse or a rat, and a man gets scared of that. And he says, yeah, I'm really scared. I think all night long, I don't want the mouse to come out or rat. And I've seen many people, as women, I said, give taweez, there are a lot of mice or rats in the house. SubhanAllah, I said, is it? And this is what happens. Then it works as well, the solution. So that's the fear for the mouse or the rat. I don't want it to come out here, don't they? And they're not scared of the police. They say, well, they haven't stolen, they haven't done anything. They're not scared of the fly because it's not big enough for them to bring all the flies. They won't be scared. So what's he scared of? Of the mouse or the rat. You say, why are you scared of the mouse? Oh, is the mouse something? It's nothing. I've seen people, they grab hold of the mice from their tongue and they rotate it around and throw it out like that with their hands. You say, well, you're not scared of the mouse? You're not? Well, you're brave. So what are you scared of then? Because he says, is there something to be scared of, the mouse? What are you scared of then, brother? He says, oh, if it's a snake, I'd be scared. What's the point of being scared of a mouse or a rat? I'm really scared of a snake. Is it? Okay, so you're scared of the snake. Yeah, I'm really scared of the snake. So if the snake comes out screaming, shrieking, snake, snake, save us, save me. And there was a snake in the house. And I remember an event, a true event. And a person used to come to dhikr and he said to me, he was a non-Muslim, a new Muslim. And he said, Hazrat, something really weird happened last night. I said, what happened? He said that I went upstairs. I said, then? And he had a nice, beautiful son who used to come to the dhikr, his child. And he said that, I said, what happened to Junaid, his child? He was 6 years old, I think, or maybe less than that in age. He said that we don't ask Hazrat what happened. I said, what happened? Tell me. He goes that we went inside and there was a big snake playing with my child. Allah. And we were amazed that the snake's not saying anything to my child. We couldn't understand that what we do, should we shriek, shout, or he might suddenly bite. And the child is not aware and he's playing. So now the position, the child doesn't have an affair and the father is scared of the snake. So this is another sort of basis that the snake is dangerous. What's the problem? Oh, I'm really scared of the snake. Is the snake something to be scared of? Why are we saying this? That, oh, you know, it just, for example, a snake comes out and he grabbed hold of the snake and he put it into the box, into the container, and he shows he's like a magician or a trickster. You know, the person who's got the snake and he brings it up, does tricks and takes the teeth out or whatever, the dangerous thing out. So will you take hold of the snake? No. We are scared and he's not scared, another person. So now the scenario changes. Let's go further. So the person who plays with the snake or the snake master, he says, is this something to be scared of? It's just an animal. You grab hold of it. Doesn't do anything to you. Can't do anything to you. Or if there's a python, a really big python or serpent, then you're scared, really. He goes. So now, if somebody comes across a python or a serpent, massive snake, and you say, the person who's scared, he can bite you and blow you away. He says, is this something to be scared of? Look, there are places, for example, you can go into a zoo, and there are the zoo masters, they're big pythons and serpents, and they've controlled them, haven't they? The zookeepers. So everyone has a different basis or criterion for being afraid of them. Somebody's afraid of the clouds. He says that, for example, when the lightning strikes, I'm really scared, says the person. When it's dark and the clouds are formed and gathered together, I'm really scared that today's darkness, and the person sits down, stops doing what he's doing. So is this something to be scared of? So this, somebody's scared of something, somebody's scared of another thing in the whole world. You'd probably be scared of something, definitely. And Omar will, and Haji Sahab and Iqbal Sahab, everybody will be scared of something. They won't tell you, but they are caught out sometimes. When the time comes, everyone gets caught that somebody's scared of something. Person tries to be brave and strong externally, but... So this is our fear, my friends. But there's one thing which is something to be afraid of, and we are not afraid of this thing. And that is the real genuine thing to be afraid of, the real thing to be scared of. And that's the most dangerous thing. These things in the world, we're talking about rice, rats and mice and serpents and snakes, they're not dangerous. And the mu'min, his basis is very great. Is this something to be scared of, a lion? If this is the case, then ask the companions. Those companions, that the lion was in front of them, they weren't afraid. Scared, he looked at the lion and said, look, I'm in the jungle alone, you are also alone. You understand? And who am I? I am the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mustafa. And my name is this, and I'm on the journey. Do you understand? And the lion lifted its leg and lay down and said, and he announced that you are the Ghulam Mustafa. We were Ghulams from before, to the lion. We were the slave boy. He said, sit on my back and I will take you through the journey wherever you want to go. And whoever comes in the jungle, inshallah, he will welcome you. This is what the lion replied with. So these were the people. So is this something to be afraid of for the moment? How foolish we are. The snakes and all the like scorpions, and we're scared of insects. If a person is a mu'min, then animals are his friends. Yes? And they will never give loss. I'll give you the example of my husband's sahab. The scorpions and spiders used to be underneath his pillow and his mattress. They never bit him. And Hazrat, if we have an experience of this, that take a mosquito and it's biting you. Oh, because we don't have that iman. We don't have that real fear. The person who doesn't fear Allah, then all of makhluk and creation overwhelms that person. But the person who's afraid of Allah, then all of the creation is afraid of that person. So we don't understand this formula, iman. Belief is very in-depth and deep, that for a man and a woman, why should we be scared of the things of the dunya? A person of iman, this is his status. Iman, a person who has iman in the heart, alhamdulillah. In fact, but we have the fear because we don't have that fear of the iman. We don't have the nur of iman in our hearts. Light. So the thing that we should really be afraid of, which is very dangerous indeed, very dangerous indeed it is, the thing that we should really be scared of and afraid of, that, but we don't have that fear. And it's the first thing that happens. Allah says, I am unhappy with this person. Is there anything more dangerous than this? When Allah says, I'm unhappy. Allah says, I'm unhappy with this mu'min. And if Allah Ta'ala is unhappy, displeased with the person, all of the angels in the universe say, curse me on this person. Curse me on this human being. When the angels send the raining down of the curses of the angels from the heavens, then from the seventh heaven, the la'nat comes, the curse comes. Then what will be the life of that individual? He's got iman. And he's having the la'na, the curse of the angels raining down upon him from the seven heavens. Then the earth speaks out, everything, all the leaves and the fish in the sea and all of the creatures in the world and all of the snakes and the mice and everything says that curse on this person. When he walks past a tree, it curses him. When he walks on the earth and he lies down resting, it curses him. Everything from creation. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Or she doesn't know. Everything in the world says, pick this person up, la'na. Curse on this person, this wretched person. And all the makhluk, the creation says this, that Allah is unhappy with this person. And all of the azab that's coming on the world is due to this human being, due to this woman, due to this man. And there's drought in our environment because of this person. He's, get out from here, be gone with you. And the leaves of the tree say, Allah, why has he come underneath us? We'll dry up. Please take him away from us. Get him away from us. Get rid of him. And when he eats the fruit curses him. I'm going to go into this person's stomach. And we're not afraid of that. These events, these are beloved to us. These are things we like. And that we gives the coolness to the fire, and it gives the coolness to a person. And a person has a love with the footsteps on the earth, and we speak from the tongues. We love our ears, without which there's no enjoyment in the life. And we have the eyesight, without which there's no enjoyment. We cannot see anything in the world. So we have everything. We have everything. So how far are we from the reality of what we should be? We are so negligent of that thing about which I've just explained to you. The basis of fear, how dangerous this situation is. What is that thing? That is sin. Sin. One sin. When a man or woman commits a sin in this world, on the earth's crust, remember this point, one sin, then straight away this situation overtakes a person. His life is progressing. But spiritually, all the hadith tell us this. Then his condition becomes like this, that as soon as he sins, Allah Ta'ala says, this situation, this mu'min, I selected him, I told him to refrain from these actions, and he's implementing this. Nothing is small or big. Sin, disobedience to Allah, even if it's an atom's weight, is disobedience to Allah. There's no big sin, small sin. There's no standard, oh, this is a small sin, this is a big sin, I can do this and I don't have to do that, oh, etc. No. There's no excuse. Hadith tell us this. Hadith, listen clearly. The hadith tell us that Allah, close to Allah, there's nothing that gives us positivity or gain. Nothing gives us gain. Allah Ta'ala has given the wahi. Allah Ta'ala has announced, I am displeased, unhappy with this person who sinned, who's disobeyed me. One man. One man. One human being. And he disobeys Allah. For example, a person disobeys his father. The father says, bring water. And you say, no, I'm not bringing the water. Then see the hal, the response. Will the anger not come? You say, no. What is water? And if he thinks, oh, maybe he can't bring the water, he's got a problem in his leg, a pain, or he's going somewhere. Maybe he can think that, give the benefit of the doubt. He could give benefit of the doubt, can't he? But how did he reject me and not bring the water? You have 5 pounds? No, brother, I'm not going to give you 5 pounds, my father. The relationship will be soured. It will become a story. It will become an issue. That look at me, I did this for my children and asked him for 5 pounds and he didn't give me 5 pounds. One, the blood relationship over a small matter, small word, it ends due to 5 pounds. You're going and the father says, give me a lift. He says, Dad, no, I can't give you a lift today. And he seats his friends in the car. It's like Qiyamah that day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Obviously, there will be a clash and the relationship will be tested. And look at Rabbul Alameen, Allah Ta'ala, who has created the whole universe that we cannot imagine, that the whole of the creation, from the small speck of dust particle, all of the creatures in the world and the things Allah has made, can they imagine that Allah orders and they don't respond? That how can the sun dare? Allah says, today you will not rise. Will the sun dare to rise? If Allah says the moon, how can it dare? Allah says, don't give light to the moon, you'll see it. But there'll be no light coming out of it. There'll be no light emitting. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala will order it. And how can the stars dare that they come out in the night? How can the oceans dare to emit the waves? If Allah gives a hukum, they will stop, they will freeze, they won't even move. How can the earth, the ground dare that it continues to do what it wants and stay silent? Allah can give the order, shake. And people have seen the mountains with their eyes when the earthquake came in Pakistan and Sarhad. Myself, I heard the event from that person. He said, whatever I saw, what can I tell you? He said, the mountains, they were walking with like the human beings. You know in Pakistan how big mountains there are in Sarhad, in that district. And like Everest is up there in that region. He said that it was such a dangerous scene, Hazrat, that until now, months have passed, I cannot sleep in the night. He said, I've seen the mountains moving like human beings walking. And where did they stop? Where Allah Ta'ala ordered them. And where they stopped, they crumbled. And they were there, naked men and women enjoying themselves. This was a resort, wasn't it there? Yeah? So Allah Ta'ala showed the azab. Allah showed the azab. So it's not necessary that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will grab. If He doesn't grab, then we don't know. If Allah Ta'ala is unhappy, and the person is wrapped in Allah Ta'ala's azab, the person who does one act of disobedience, then another act of disobedience, this is not within the life of a person. This should never be the dare of any piece of creation in the universe. Even the smallest bird, the smallest insect, Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot defy me, you cannot reject me. How can it be that Allah Ta'ala says to a human being, praise Salah, and he says, I cannot praise Salah. I will not praise Salah. Tell me, what rejection? A human being, Allah Ta'ala says that this is my mahbub. That I've sent my mahbub, I made the universe for my mahbub, the whole universe is the glitter, the shine of my mahbub, and whoever imitates him, and we say, we will not imitate him, we will imitate those who disobey you, Allah, but not him. Who? The person who says, La ilaha illallah. Can it be? Is this dangerous, or is the mouse dangerous, or the snake, or the scorpion, or the serpent? These are nothing. There's no danger. There's no danger. They are dependent on the human beings, these creatures. I've told you this before. They prostrate to the human beings that look at this makhluk, subhanAllah, that we are waiting for your ziyarah. They say this. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, when he used to pass by a region before Bayt, before the deen, the stones they used to salam salatu wa salam alayhi ya Rasulullah. From time, from generations, they were waiting, the tree, the stones, that we were waiting, that you will pass by us, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the creation was waiting, creatures, the hadith, it comes in the hadith, that one mountain says to the other mountain, that today, have you seen, witnessed a dhakir walking past you today? Aha! And the mountain says, my friend, what shall I say to you? My heart doesn't feel like. He says, tell me. He said, today, a dhakir passed me, and he says, congratulations to you, O mountain, you have become so fortunate today. I am desperate that a dhakir walks past me, who's remembering Allah. This is a human being, his value. This is our value. And we are scared of mouse, mice and rats and other animals. Fear Allah. Fear the sins. Fear Allah Ta'ala's wrath. Because who is going to be grabbing us? Shadidul Iqab, Allah Ta'ala is that. And he doesn't grab anyone on any action except for when a person disobeys Allah. How did you dare? Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, I have chosen 5 times. Allah Ta'ala says, why have I chosen? Did a Nabi choose this? Did a Nabi, did any Nabi, did Jibreel alayhi salam select? Did Mikael alayhi salam? Did Israfil select? Who dares to select? Who can select and choose? Allah Ta'ala says, my Mahbub, you are my beloved Ummah, belonging to Rasulullah, you are my Mahbub, beloved creation. And I preferred for you that 5 times I call you and you prostrate to me and you come to me and you remember me, aha. And you say, I don't want to prostrate. I cannot pray. I can't do it. I'm busy in my shop. In my business, it's too hard for me to pray. It's difficult, or it's hard for me to do. And you eat from Allah, what Allah gives, and you breathe from the air Allah gives, and you drink the water Allah gives. Oh, shameful person, is there any more shameful action? And we walk around in the dunya bigoted, and we're scared of the mice, of rats and snakes, and from the lizards. Ah, I've seen walizwala that there's a lizard. We're doing dhikr, such a big lizard. You understand? Lizard, chupkali. Yeah, and in the wilderness, in the village areas in Pakistan and in the Indian subcontinent, such a big lizard. Hazrat sitting here and the lizard hanging there nearby. We thought, oh, the chupkali, the lizard. You know, it looks a bit dangerous. And that lizard is so busy, everyone's in Marakma. And the chupkali, Hazrat took the lizard and put it here. And the lizard left. So, no fear, no khawf, subhanAllah. The scorpions, the snakes are the friends of the wali, because they know that why should we be afraid of these animals? We have a fear of Allah, in whose court we have to be presented one day to answer the questions. My brothers, think. What are we scared of? The mu'min, scared of the dunya, things and items. We don't fear that action of sin. 1,000 years, what was burnt? 1,000 years. And you can take hundreds and millions of years in this world, but that fire became red. Then Allah Ta'ala burnt that fire more. This is a Sahih hadith of hellfire was burnt 1,000 years, became red. Then after burning for another 1,000 years of the hereafter years, it became white. Then it was burnt another 1,000 years. And that fire, it burned so much it became black upon black. And today it's in that state, waiting. The darkness of hellfire, nobody can recognize. And it is layer by layer of darkness, so shadeed and hidden that one needle, you cannot even, if it was to be, you can say, unraveled and shown to the world, even the diameter of one pin head, we would destroy the whole world. Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha narrated this hadith. She said that people will be shackled in the chains and women's hair will be grabbed by the angels. These are the words of the hadith. I seek forgiveness. The women's hair will be grabbed. They'll be shackled in the chains. They used to make their hair nicely and put it on top of their head and walk out outside the dunya. And Rasulullah SAW said, oh, women, don't do this. Oh, sisters of Ummah, what did Rasulullah SAW say? Oh, woman, take haya. Modesty. Modesty is your decoration, your ornament. It starts from your eyes and from your face. Remember haya. Don't just this, that just a few things you think is haya here. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, where there is haya, haya is totally there. Modesty. Satar, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined the satar, the private part of the woman. Yeah? So there's the knee and the elbows, isn't it? And what's the difference between the knees? No, here, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is sharam for the woman, for the man. And below this is the private part, and above this is the satar. So what is the satr? Why? Because it's the hukum, the order of Allah, that hide and take away the show of your ornaments and of your attractive parts. Because Allah Ta'ala has ordered haya. What is Haya, Allah's defined, so that angels will have grabbed the hair of those women and be dragging them. They'll be grabbing the men from the hair, and the next time they'll be shrieking and screaming. And such a bad, bad, horrid scream and screech. The words of the hadith has a Fatima to Dhuhra radiallahu anha narrates this hadith. And this hadith has been stated that so much will those people be screaming and screeching and crying that the guards of hellfire will look to the people. And how many people will they be already in hellfire people? But this specific group of people, they'll be looking at, oh, you wretched people, that your faces, they doesn't look like you're the people of hellfire. And even now, there's something shining within you. And what is that? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because what creation is this? Which species of the human beings? That they're going into hellfire and they say that we can see you going, but what makhluk are you, O wretched people, O zalim oppressors? Who are you that you are being dragged in this way into hellfire in this condition? And you're being thrown into that part of Jahannam about which Rasulullah said that the fire is waiting and will be shrieking, screaming, crying, screaming, shrieking. And they'll be asked, who are you? And they said, we can't tell you. We can't tell you. We are those mu'minin believers who recited the kalima. Allah Ta'ala gave us Qur'an, we forgot the Qur'an. Allah's Nabi Sallam gave us the methodology of life, we forgot the methodology of life. We lived a life of negligence and arrogance and ignorance, and we were totally lost people, unfortunate people, unlucky people. He would say, zalim, oppressors, and you could cry in the world. If only you'd cried that day in the world, and today you'd be laughing, walking into paradise. You used to laugh in the world. You used to laugh at the people who prayed salah, who used to follow the sunnah. You laughed at them and mocked them. And that woman who had haya, and she used to leave the house, she used to say, oh, what's happened to you? Why are you looking so backward? What's happened to you? Haya, sharam, shame, everything you lost in the world for a few moments, a few months or years, and now you're being punishment. And this is how the tables will turn. It will flip. Yesterday what they were, and how the people who followed, who had fikr and worry. Look, if you go on the internet, you look at the data statistics after everything, it says that this many people are dying in the world. You know this? You can go on the site. Have a look at that. How many people every second are dying in the world? That those who were sitting in dhikr yesterday, and from that zikr yesterday until today, what is the figure? And be grateful that our figure is not included, our number is not included after hearing these words. Whoever is listening today in the world, in any corner or facet of the world, who has the tawfiq to listen to this in the world now, be grateful. Be grateful that your name is not included in that computer now. That tick-tick-tick-tick is turning over the turn. The turns like that. The counters move every second in the whole world. How many people are dying every second? And it's a warning, admonishment. This person's going, this person's going, this person's going. Allah, I'm grateful to you that me, I'm still here. I'm close to death, but still, despite that, you give me another chance, some moments, some seconds, time. You sat me in a masjid in your home. You give me beautiful words to listen to. Aha. Ajib beautiful words. Ajib beautiful words. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Badbakht. Wretched is that person who loses from this situation, that you are destroyed. 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 And for what reason are you going into hell? If I ask these people, they're saying, sin. Sin. Sin, such an action that attached itself to me, that no water of the world, no soap, no washing agent, no shampoo could take the sin away. When we used to commit the sin, it would attach itself to our bodies and hearts. It would attach itself and it would join to us and it would not go away. It would not leave. Why? Because it's waiting, the sin. When we sin, then sin, it joins to our body like super glue, and it waits for death. After this person dies, that sin that's joined to my body and I didn't wash it in the world, and Allah's Nabi gave the method of how to remove the sins. It joined to our hearts and our bodies and it would not be removed. It would not leave. And where will it be removed? From that fire which was burned for 1,000 years of the hereafter. And we're waiting for that. And we have the sins, the masses of sins, and all of the piles of sins in our hearts. And we're waiting. Oh, no, I'm going to have a bath when I go to the hereafter in the fountain of hellfire. In the fountain of hellfire, my brothers, what sorts of methods Rasulullah ﷺ gave us, actions to stave off the hazam? Mu'ad bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, what a hadith. Aha, great hadith. Ittabi hasanatu sayyiat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what is ittaba sayyatul hasana, sayyatul hasana, tanhuha. A small hadith, portion of hadith I've presented in front of you. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said that I heard this nasiha, this guidance, nasiha from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's narrated in Tirmidhi. The scholars are sat here. Go and read this. Sit, read, look at it. Very small hadith. Ittabi', ittabi'. What is that? Messenger Sayyidul Hasana, Yahuha. That As Muad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah gave me this nasiha that it should reach to the whole ummah. How shafiq, how loving and caring and gentle. He loved us so much to save us from the fire. That don't commit the sins, and this sin will not be washed away anywhere. And I'll give you a method how to wash it. Will we do this? Inshallah. Rasulullah said, I'll give you a method. Oh my ummah, for the sake of Allah, follow and implement this action. Oh Prophet of Allah, what is that method? Ittabi. What's the action that will remove the sins? Ittabi'a. Hasanatul Sayyatul Hasana. The oh people of my ummah, when you commit a wrong, then after that, straight away compensate for that wrong by doing a good deed, and it will wipe away your wrong action, your sin. Straight away. What a beautiful formula, my brothers. What a beautiful formula. So why don't we do this? Well, we're scared of the mice, rats, animals, and we fill in the holes in the cracks in our house and go to sleep. We're scared of flies. We spray the insecticide before we sleep. We're scared of snakes and we close the windows and go to sleep. We're scared of pythons and serpents and lions. We trap them in cages. We're scared of the elephants, of their noises and the jungle. My brothers, we should have fear of Allah. Why don't we have fear of sins and of eliminating the sins? Day and night we're wrapping the sins around us. We're clothing ourselves with the sins. We feel enjoyment. The more enjoyment, the things that we enjoy, they're the most dangerous today. And those things that are the most dangerous sins today are the most beloved for us in our lives. And they are lazeez, and we taste them. We feel so much enjoyment. We feel satisfaction. Don't ask the satisfaction, enjoyment we get from the most dangerous things today. We love those actions. Do you understand what I'm saying? How bad is the action of sin? Sin. Now there's one point here. Allah Ta'ala says that this is your test. This is the testing ground, O women, men. This life is a testing ground, a challenging ground. And this is your test, one test. And what is your test? Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you an attribute, a quality that you can sin. You physically can fall into the sin. But I want to see that after sinning, that are you scared of the sin and the reaction of the sin and the conclusion? Have you got hope of your Rabb? Do you have belief in the Akhirah? Do you have belief in the fire? Allah says, I just want to see that the person who has fear of the hereafter in his heart, that I've given you such actions that can subhanallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, whoever recites this, then his sins will be removed in such a way from his body, just like the dry leaves, they fall off the tree in autumn. From the dry tea. How many people recite this kalima? Is there any easier solution than this? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah Ta'ala said that whoever recites this, then even if you have sins equivalent to the number, the amount of foam on the surface of the sea, Allah says, I will remove those sins. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa'tubu ilayh. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites this, the sin doesn't remain on his body. His sheet is wiped clean. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Whoever recites this 100 times, 124,000 good deeds are written to his record books. And who has time for this? We ain't scared. We ain't got the time. Person knows he's got a sin. Hey, would he ever leave dhikr of Allah? Will he leave dhikr if you leave dhikr? That's why Allah Ta'ala says, wadhkurullah kathira. Every second do my dhikr, remember me, I will keep on washing away your sins. I'll wash away your sins, I'll wash away your sins. When you come to me, the angels will be amazed that this man, he was so sinful and he's so clean. Allah will say, why not? He was regular. He had sin in his natural actions, but he knew my Mawla, my Rabb is displeased with me. He started to do dhikr, he made dhikr his lifestyle, man and woman. He never left dhikr, so I never left his sins. Allah says, I removed his sins. And this is dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And we're scared. We're scared. Oh, and when we sit down, everyone's scared. La ilaha illallah. And I tell you these events. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. This is what I tell you. This is what I guide you. And this is why I repeat, my friends, inshallah, you will look. Where's Shaykh gone? That subhanallah, he's given us such great reward. Not one sin is left on our body. This is the thought process for the hereafter. I don't call you for no reason. I sit down myself. We spend time. These are the kalamats we recite. What is the value of each of these verses? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, who told the Sahaba, ask the Sahaba who made this their lifestyle. Reciting Allah's remembrance of one sin for us is so cheap. We don't even need one sin. When we remove the sin, where will it end? In the fire that will burn, and we cannot compare to the fire. And today, if we go to a majlis, a gathering, and sit with the shaykh and recite this kalima, all of the sins are removed and wiped away. So why wait for the hellfire? Rather, all the sins are removed in the majlis. Allah Ta'ala says in the heavens, O angels, stand up, stand in a line, and stand next to the door. And whoever passes there, they put the stamp and the seal on his back. Forgiven. Jannah. Whoever comes to this gathering, leaves the gathering. Why don't we come to the gathering? Will you come to the gathering? When we attend the majlis, Masjid Makki, some people are Masjid Makki, some people go to this Masjid Madani, and some are this Masjid Aisha, etc. My brothers, don't be attached to any specific masjid. Say we are Dhakireen.
With our dhikr wale, our sins are removed. Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins. Don't join to a specific mosque. Is there any better gathering this in the world? This is the most dangerous thing in the world, that today is worse than the pythons, the snakes, the serpents, and where the sins are dangerous for us, and wherever we find the majlis, we'll go. We'll go. Then I'll understand that you have love for the dhikr of Allah. Then we'll understand that you have love and khawf and fear, that this person is fear. To leave the sin is no big deed. Sorry, to implement a deed is no big feat. But to remove the sin is a big achievement. Allah says, he is fear in his Lord. In me, Allah Ta'ala says that he knows that there is a Lord, and Allah, his creator, will forgive the sins. And he has yaqeen and muhabbat for my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala says. Now, yaqeen is in this, that Allah Ta'ala has given us change, improvement. We start to follow the sunnah. We say bad to other people, oh, look at him. And if we feel this in our heart, then think now. Think, Allah has given you tawfiq to practice Islam. You wear the imamah, you wear dhoti, lungi, and you're wearing the attire, and you meet another person. Look at this, Mulana. And we wear the turban, he doesn't wear the turban. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Khabardar, how dare we in our hearts think this, that I am doing amal on the sunnah and I'm better. Never, never. Rather bow onto your face on the earth. Allah, you give me tawfiq. I'm so lucky. Allah, I'm shukr to you. I'm so grateful. If you become arrogant on your change and improvement, and you think other people are lower and inferior to you, why don't you wear imamah, brother? Why don't you wear the sunnah attire? How can it be you're an alim, a scholar, you think you're this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Very dangerous. Never think like this. Never think you're superior. And that you think, oh, he's not an ashik. That person who thinks he's better than others due to his attire and his practice is not a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the person who really has changed and improved, he will never think of others as inferior. Rather, he will think as a warning. Allah, shukr Allah. You've selected me for practicing this. Allah, so Allah, you're so merciful, you're so great, Allah, you allowed me to practice this sunnah. But even then, I consider myself as a sinner and I'm not better than anyone. Rather, I think, Allah, how did you select me? How did you give me the tawfiq and stay in your fikr, your worry? Other people, they walk around with a picture. Look at me, I was this before and now what am I? Look at my face, I used to be this woman before and now I'm this woman now. And she shows this to other people. Have aql, have understanding. In front of Allah, we should cry, Allah, your fadl, Allah, your mercy. How was I capable that I could have done this? We listened to thousands of speeches and majlis. But Allah, what muhabbat and love you've put into my heart for Rasulullah that I started to do amal. But the other person to point to others, tell them, I'm better than I do this, you don't practice, and I'm better than you, you don't do this. Never even think for a second like this. This is not true love for Rasulullah to have these thoughts. This is not the love that Rasulullah wanted from us. Yes, so it's been told it's not our job to, even if we're practicing, we should consider that we are inferior. And this is the point. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that today who fears Allah, and the angel will say, if today we cry, then tomorrow we will walk into paradise laughing, smiling, walking into paradise laughing, smiling. And in the gardens of paradise, we will loot everything. And there should not be one sin on the body, that's it. Otherwise, if the sin stays attached on the body and we pass away, then it will be washed in hellfire. This is the law of Allah, and the sin will drag us into hellfire. And we should be careful of one thing, do the dhikr of Allah, such kalimats and verses we recite, not small things, big things, every second you should be in dhikr of Allah. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That's why Allah Ta'ala selected and called to dhikr, walking, talking. Allah, 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 Naqshbandi. His status is this, that your heart should never be wasted. Never. The sins, you should fear the sins in such a way, just like we're scared of the snakes and the scorpions and the animals of the world. These aren't things to be scared of. Be scared more of the sins that I did the sin. And as long as I don't do tawbah, repent for the sin, then I will not go to sleep. Because if I sleep and I die, then this sin will be with me in thereafter. If I sin with the eyes, my mouth, with my hands, with my body, with my feet, with any part, with my stomach, there's the sin of the stomach when haram goes in the stomach. And I sin with the stomach, I say bad to people. There are many categories of sin. Sins of the eyes, Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors for mercy, repentance, but kamal. The amount of doors Allah Ta'ala has opened that we can sin, but Allah Ta'ala has opened such the greatest door that will eliminate the sins. Allah has given kalamat and dhikr and remembrance. Allah says, I wipe away the sins with this recitation of dhikr of my dhikr. Allah says, this is hadith. So ittaba Sayyidul Hasan Yamhuha. That if you do a sin, straight after that, if you compensate it with a good deed, Allah says, this good deed will wipe away all of your sins. Straight away, it will wipe it away. Wipe it away from you. So may Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq that we are afraid of the sins. And while we sin, our bodies shake. And when we do a good deed, we should become so humble and we should have humility on that good deed. Alhamdulillah, the tears come from the eyes. Allah, you're so great. Allah, you gave me the tawfiq to practice good deeds. And you should do dhikr of Allah regularly and consistently. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.